In his teachings, Jesus made a profound statement that could be considered as a fundamental overview of Christianity and how we should conduct ourselves. In Matthew chapter 7, we will read verse 13 and 14. Matthew 7, verse 13. Jesus said, "Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it." So, brethren, there is always a certain dramatic quality about life. For it has been said that all life is focused on our position at the crossroads. In all actions of life, we are faced with making a choice, because we must always take one way or the other. And you have heard many times about people coming to the crossroads. And with that choice, character, whether good or bad, will be involved. Moses stood before the nation of Israel as he was given instruction, and his days on earth drew near. And he gave them two choices. In Deuteronomy chapter 30, we have two verses there. Deuteronomy chapter 30. Moses said to the large congregation of Israel, we will read verse 15 and 16 of Deuteronomy chapter 30. Moses said, "See, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil, in that I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commandments, his statutes, and his judgments, that you may live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land which you go to possess." Then we also want to notice verse 19. "I call heaven and earth as witness against you that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Therefore choose life, that both you and your descendants may live." And we may also notice another admonishment. When Joshua was laying down the leadership of the nation at the end of his life, he presented them with the same choice. So in Joshua chapter 24 and verse 15, these are the words that he gave. "And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourself this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." So Joshua, there wasn't any doubt as to his mind being made up as to the life that he was going to live. He had already made a choice. So we find almost the same words given to the prophet Jeremiah. In Jeremiah chapter 21, Jeremiah chapter 21 and verse 8. Now you shall say to this people, thus says the Lord, behold, I set before you the way of life and the way of death. And so in Matthew chapter 7, the message here which Jesus is confronting us with is choice. So we go through life, you know, we all have to make choice. There is a broad and easy way, and there are many who take it. But the end of it is ruin. The broad way is ruin. But there is a narrow and a hard way, and there are few who take that way. It goes that way. Most people want to do things the easy way. There is never an easy way to greatness. Since man rejected God's perfect law in the Garden of Eden, there has never been any other way to greatness than the way of toil. The sermonette title for the day, The Greatness of Godly Character. The Greatness of Godly Character. So in this world, brethren, we are constantly faced with the short way, which promises immediately results, and the long way of which the results are in the far distance. But the lasting things never come quickly. Lasting things never come quickly. The long way is the best way to the end. Godly character is a process of a long term of overcoming and repentance. And the involvement with that must be discipline. Discipline must come with building character. Nothing lasting has ever been achieved without discipline. Ask any professional athlete, and they will tell you their achievement came as a result of overcoming self and discipline and perseverance. There is a difference between the thoughtful and the thoughtless way in life. None of us should ever take the shortcuts in life trying to accomplish something for nothing. The Bible shows that this is not the Christian way of life. And the results, when we do this, brethren, in the end, will only lead to an undisciplined way of life that brings sorrows. Everything in this world has two aspects: how it looks at the moment, and how it will be in the time to come. The easy way may look very inviting at the moment. I had a lady that worked for me, and she always wanted to take the shortcuts. She'd take a shortcut in just a few, and I always had to check behind her every day for taking shortcuts. And finally, I had to prove to her that shortcuts just doesn't work. It looks good for the moment, but at the end, there's chaos, and things just doesn't work. So God is saying to us to build character. Do not take shortcuts. Only lead to sorrows. So This is the only way to get our values right is to see not the beginning, but the end. To see things not in the light of time, but in the light of eternity. God is very concerned about our character and how we develop it as a Christian. I can think of nothing more important in the development of godly character than the exposure to and reading God's Word, that we may find the will of God in our lives. In Proverbs chapter 11, and we will read verse 3 of Proverbs chapter 11. The integrity of the upright will guide them, but for the perversity of the unfaithful will destroy them. So this, you know, this is still dealing with the shortcuts, so to speak. Character is the result of the quantity of our being in which God is working with to develop. In Psalm 139, begin reading in verse 23. We will also read verse 24. Psalm 139, verse 23. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties. And see if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me to the way of everlasting. You see, brethren, the world wants to take the short way of life without enduring anything. Many people have wondered, why didn't God, in the beginning, simply create humans as spirit beings without human nature? Why did he first make us physical from the dust of the earth, then offer us eternal life only if we vigorously resist the weaknesses of our flesh? So we have had people question in that area because they wanted the easy way out. Others would add to this by saying, if God can do all these things, why didn't he just create us with perfect character? That way all of this physical life of headache and suffering could be avoided. These people want the easy way out. And the answer to all of this is yes, God could have done all of this if he had been willing to create us without a personal character. So we need for making personal choices, he could have made us to function like some type of programmed robot. But that wasn't God's will. That wasn't what he wanted to do. God wanted to create a family. But God chose to create man in his own image with free moral agency to choose and to make decision of what is right and what is wrong. This requires that we learn right from wrong and that our character develop gradually. You know, it is through trials and tests that we go through in this life that we build and develop character. God is shaping and molding us to be more like him as he actively creates his character within us. In Ephesians chapter 2, Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. Ephesians 2, verse 10. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. We also want to notice Ephesians chapter 4. We will read verses 22 through 24. That you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God in righteousness and true holiness. So we must remember that God is not finished with us. We are still His workmanship. He is creating in us righteousness and true holiness, which is His character. As long as we are human, our character is not firm. As long as we are human, our character is not firm. It is not permanent. Why? Because we can change our minds. We can change our behavior. We can make ourselves be involved in mistakes and learn from them. We can learn from the fruits of our right and wrong choices. So it's not permanent. And since we can change our minds and repent of our wrongdoings, God can change us even more and create in us the will and the capacity of steadfastness to choose what is right over what is wrong. So we can see why, you know, God instilled in us to build character along the way. He didn't want to give us perfect character to begin with. We wouldn't have anything to work for. In Philippians chapter 2, Philippians chapter 2 and verse 13, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do for His good pleasure. So God requires that we recognize and willingly change our reversed our wrong behavior by allowing His Holy Spirit to empower us to make those changes. Then and only then can we become a new person, created in righteousness and true holiness. And when it comes to character, God looks at the inward part of man's heart. This is what God notices. This is where He keeps in touch with us, and He can see our attitude, understand our way of life. In 1 Samuel chapter 16. We want to read verse 7. And this is a good reason why we mention a lot that we should not judge. We should not judge people. We can judge their wrongness, but when it comes to we just don't up and judge one of our brethren, because we don't know the inward part of a person. God does, but we don't. In 1 Samuel chapter 16 and verse 7, but the Lord said to Samuel, do not look at his appearance or his height or stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord does not see as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. The Bible uses the word heart to describe our innermost thoughts, motives, and attitudes. God knows what goes on in our minds and thoughts. Therefore, He can see and evaluate the intents and motivations as well as the internal aspects of our character. In Hebrews chapter 4, Hebrews chapter 4. We will read verses 12 and 13 of Hebrews chapter 4. We'll read this from the NIV. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. See, God is the only one that has this, a term that we can understand, equipment, you might say, to do this, because he can see the heart. We can't. Verse 13, nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. So everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of Him to whom we must give an account. So the internal aspects of our character count the most with God, because God, He considers our behavior in light of what is in our hearts. If we yield our will to God, He will empower us through His Holy Spirit to live by the principles of righteousness as He defines them in His laws. So, brethren, we face trials and difficulties in life so God can know how committed we are to His ways of life. He has to find out if our character will endure hardships and suffering. So God has to know that, because we are being molded to be in His kingdom. And He has to know our attitude and our character. Then and only then can He trust us with the assumed power that will be given the first fruits to govern in the millennium. You know, and I think a lot about the power of God. And I don't know how many people think about the power of God, but it's awesome. And this lady that was climbing up in the Himalayas, the mountains, and I wondered how she felt. Because she said there was the earthquake up there. And sometimes we hear earthquake, we think about the ground shaking. But what about when the whole mountain shakes? If you have a huge mountain and it shakes, I mean, that's power. And I was reading this morning in the end time, in the earthquakes. We find this in Revelation, the earthquake. All the mountains will vanish from sight, as well as the islands in the sea. All this is from the God we serve, brother. And, people don't fear God. And we want to do our own thing. But the time is coming, which is very near, when we will be waking out of our sleep if we're sleeping. And I hope that we can look at the things that are being, produced and the things that are happening in our life now that will certainly bring to us an eye-opening experience. The internal aspects of our character count the most with God. So when we face trials and tests, they are hard sometimes, but God is checking our character as well as our attitude. God's purpose for giving us only temporary life in our fleshly body is to provide us the time and opportunity we need to develop the same character God has. Those who succeed in developing godly character will receive the gift of eternal life as God perfected family of sons and daughters to be a part of His kingdom. In Ephesians chapter 3, we find in chapter 3, Paul's prayer for the Ephesians, and this is what he said. Ephesians chapter 3, begin reading in verse 14. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might through His Spirit in the inner man. That Christ would dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what are the width and the length and the depth and height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. This was the prayer that Apostle Paul prayed to God on behalf of the Ephesians. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Verse 14. Do not be equally yoked, unyoked, I should say. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? Notice verse 17. Therefore come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. Verse 18, I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. So separation from the ungodly and those who compromise with Christianity and the Christian standards for pleasure will someday stand before God and give an account. So God is saying to us now, brethren, if we are to develop godly character that pleases Him, then we must be separate from the world. Christ said, come out from among them. There's so many folk that is in the churches today that want a mixture. They want a little bit of the world and want a little bit of Christianity. And sometimes we say straddle the fence. I don't know about straddling the fence, but I know that we must make a choice. God cannot use people in the kingdom that are straddle the fence, if you want to put it that way. He has to know what side we are on. With Satan deceptive tactics, it becomes easy to be divided in doing the things and becoming involved with the world. Very easy to do that. And throughout the Bible, we read Satan's antagonism towards God's plans of salvation for all mankind. He is motivated by intense hatred because he understands what God has in store for us. So he constantly seeks to lure humans away from God's truth. Satan and his demons don't want God's plan for mankind to succeed. So he will use every opportunity available to him to deceive God's people. That is one of his most powerful tools that is mentioned in Revelation chapter 12 and verse 9. One of the great dangers in life is having the wrong mindset. Though that is a part of the human nature that is hard to remove. And I can tell you that I've seen in my lifetime people that had the wrong mindset that almost destroyed them physically. They were so stubborn that they didn't want to change. Because of that mindset, it had engraved in them that they thought that everything that they were doing and the way that they were doing it was the right way. It was a mindset. Hard to be moved. For those who live according to the flesh, it says, well, let's just turn there, Romans chapter 5, at Romans chapter 8. Let's read verse 5. We'll just read some more verses here as well. Romans chapter 8, begin reading in verse 5. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. So to live according to the flesh is to live a life that is dictated by desires and works of the flesh that is not controlled by godly character. So we continue then in verse 6. For to be carnally minded, wrong mindset is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Verse 7, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. This is what we're talking about, this mindset. It's hard to change a mindset. It is just engraved in you. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. It's those who are controlled by the desires and the pulls of the flesh that can't please God. So brethren, with all sincerity, God's church must come to the reality more than ever before to press forward to fulfill the mission of the church and complete the purpose we have been called to. One of these purposes of God's plan for those who are first fruits is to develop the godly character that will be carried into the kingdom of God. I've thought about this a lot, and Mr. Armstrong mentioned it a lot. The character that you leave this life with, this will be the character that you'll be resurrected with. And this is why, God don't change these things once you're in the grave. You have to be out. You have to be out of the grave. And this is why I say a lot of times that we don't understand how important it is to recognize this training ground that we are here now with the thousands and thousands of people, millions of people that are going to be resurrected, that their mindset will have to be changed. God's not going to let those people into His kingdom with that attitude. You have been trained. You have been put here to train, to help God to change those people. So we are responsible, brethren, for developing the kind of character that God can use in His kingdom. So Romans 8 shows that the state of mind this world have, the attitude, if not changed, will bring eternal death. In many situations, humanity have developed a mind of hostility. Situations that bring about sorrow that will continue until Christ returns. But for now, God is allowing humanity to make their own choices, allowing them to reap what they have sown. And this is why we see so many problems in our society today. Our society is falling apart. And life goes on, and people just ha-ha-ha, and they're just having a good time, seemingly, and they're not even looking at what is developing around them. I saw a little situation. It was a advertisement, and, you know, I think most of the people who was looking at it was just jumping for joy. But I thought, this may be good now, but this thing can be, the beast power can use this. And when I was looking at it, the cell phones, they're coming out with cell phones now where you can push a button and freeze your assets, your bank account, where nobody can't touch it. Now, wouldn't the beast power love to get this? How long can you operate without money? You won't go very far. I'm not saying that this is a prophecy. I'm just looking at what could happen. And, you know, we jump in joy with all these things. And, you know, God wants us to enjoy life. But I'm just saying that things are creating around us where we are not focused on what's going on. And God has set time when Christ will return to earth to establish a godly world government that will enforce his righteous principles and change humanity's way of thinking. And what a wonderful time that will be. God relies on us to be building righteous character. In Isaiah chapter 2, Isaiah chapter 2, because it's coming a time when all of these things will change. Isaiah chapter 2, verse 3, and people will desire to know God's way. Isaiah chapter 2, verse 3, many people shall come and say, come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us His ways, and we shall walk in His path. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. So the attitudes and thinkings of the whole world will be transformed to godly character. Isaiah says, from out of Zion shall go forth the law. Nations will react in a spontaneous way to be taught God's law. Because after coming out of the tribulation, they will be glad to make a change. God will rule with a rod of iron from Jerusalem, which will be the ruling religious center of the earth. crime and violence will become non-existent in the millennial kingdom. So the Bible teaches that those changes mentioned in Isaiah chapter 2 and verse 3 are to occur in two distinctive time periods. The first begins at Christ's return to earth as King of Kings. A second will begin 1,000 years later with the resurrection of all those who have died without understanding, established an obedient relationship with God. And this is where you come in, brother. At Christ's return, there will be millions and millions of weary and distressed survivors from the prophesied time mentioned in Matthew chapter 24. Let's turn there. Matthew chapter 24. Read two verses, verse 21 and 22, Matthew chapter 24. For then there will be great tribulation, such as has not been since the beginning of the world until this time, nor ever shall be. And unless those days were shortened, no flesh will be saved, but for the elect's sake those days will be shortened. So it is with these people and their children that the first massive transformation of human behavior and character will begin to continue for 1,000 years. So who will assist Jesus Christ in implementing this transformation? And what will take place with all these people, some of whom have never known any other way of life except the way of Satan? So we have all types of attitudes and mindsets that you will have to stand before and teach and correct. It will be your job. Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20. Verse 6. Blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. Over such the second death has no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. So blessed tells us their condition. Holy speaks of their character. Those raised to eternal life in the first resurrection will help Jesus Christ teach and transform all the living human beings who are willing to change their thinking and way of life. It will be a time when most people will repent and surrender their lives to God and receive His Holy Spirit. There will be no shortcuts. There will be no emphasizing of letting things go. It will be God's way. So the spirit saints of God will be resurrected at the return of Christ. But what about those that were not saints? Those that have not had the chance to build godly character in this life. And those who never understood God's way of life will then be taught. Verse 5, but the rest of the dead did not live again until the 1,000 years was finished. This is the first resurrection. It is important for us to know that they will be the second group to have the opportunity to understand and be taught God's way of life. The first group is those who were living here on earth when Christ returns. So God's servants, the saints filled with God's Holy Spirit, change to immortality. They shall be priests of God and Christ and reign with him for 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead, the second group, will be resurrected. At that time, billions of people will have lived and died. So with little or no understanding of God's plan to resurrect them, they will be brought back to life and given a wonderful opportunity to accept God's way of life. 2 Peter chapter 3. And we will read verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So in his master plan, God's highest priority is to develop in every willing person the same traits of character and self-discipline that he and his son Jesus Christ have in their thinking, in their choices, and in their actions. And during the various stages of his plan, those who willingly commit to obeying him are to receive everlasting life as his glorified children. So the forgiveness of our sins through Jesus Christ's sacrifice is a crucial part of that plan. But a crucial part of our development, that godly character that we have been talking about, brethren, we learn to love God and his ways above everything else. God should be first in our lives. And to do that, brethren, we must learn through personal experience the sorrow and suffering that sin brings when we reject the ways of God and are led astray by the god of this world, Satan. So God wants us to learn the folly of choosing our own ways, and that we will reflect Satan's ways over choosing and obeying God and his ways. And God wants us to realize and understand that every change we make in our lives in the direction of obeying his laws brings improvement in our lives. And on the other hand, every action that takes us further from God's laws brings damaging consequences, which are times that will bring suffering upon us. So when we look around us, brethren, we can see the world is on a downward spiral. Society is engulfed in the nature of Satan. And from the very beginning, God's long-term goal has always been to prepare his sons and daughters, whom he would give eternal life as his glorified children. But he first created man, mortal, subject to death. In doing so, he made sure that eternal life would not be extended to those who stubbornly refuse to accept his law defining godly love. This godly love is summed up in a single commandment that we find in Galatians chapter 5 in verse 14, which says, Galatians 5 verse 14, "For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. So such love is produced by God's Holy Spirit in us. Christ said in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 17 that he did not come to destroy the law, but to fulfill the law. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. So grace does not make us free to sin. It makes us free to serve. The opportunity to live forever is a gift bestowed upon us by God through His great mercy. The fact that eternal life is a gift does not alter God's expectations of us either. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10 that we read earlier said we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. The struggle we may have to do good works when others around us are doing evil is part of God's plan to perfecting His people. We build righteous character when we struggle against our human nature. And the urge to retaliate against others who mistreat us. It is the crucial struggle that God can see just who we are and the godly character we have developed. So it is God's desire, brethren, to see us develop into mature, principled Christians for His kingdom. He realized that we need challenges and tests along the way. Just as a weightlifter must use weights to build his muscles, to build spiritual character through challenge, not by watching someone else, but by doing the things God has commanded us to do. It is not easy. It's not easy for young people to build righteous character. But we build righteous character by resisting temptation. When others cheat on exams and test papers, it takes effort and character not to do the same. When others choose to have sexual relationships prior to marriage, it takes courage and character to obey God and resist the desire to do that. When others break the Sabbath or skip church services, it takes character to obey God. And when we see hypocrisy around us, even in the church, brethren, it takes character to obey God anyway. Brethren, building character, righteous character through resistance to sin is so precious in the sight of God. It makes Him happy to see us resist precious gift, resist Satan. It makes Him happy to see us do that. Because in the sight of God, when we are building character, is going to be the basis of our reward in God's kingdom. God is looking at everything that we are doing. In Revelation chapter 22 and verse 12, He says, "Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give to everyone according to his works." We know that eternal life is a gift, but we are rewarded according to our works. So given the challenge of living God's way is not easy at all the time. That is why Christ said, "Narrow is the gate and difficult is the way." Yet under these circumstances, God promises to help. And Apostle Paul said in Philippians chapter 4, in verse 13, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me." So our human effort, together with God's help, make it possible for us to be positive examples to those around us. This is precisely what God, Jesus Christ, had in mind when he said, "We are to be lights to this world." In the final scripture, please turn to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, verse 14 through 16. "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Now do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." Those of us who desire to build godly character must be actively involved in obeying God and doing his work.